total commitment now. Commitment is the dedication of self to some objective. The objective is pleasing God. Giving one's heart, one's mind, one's strength, the purpose of one's life, without reservation, is illustrated by the messages of three books, Haggai, James, and Malachi, two in the Old Testament and one in the New. From three different perspectives, these inspired authors look at the concept of the dedication of self and one's means and one's energy to the service of God. And as we study these three books, let us bear in mind that they focus on this one objective. What are you doing with your life is the question that we must address. This is a general study on life's direction, on the attitudes and the commitment to God. It is divided into four parts. Each one of us has a choice. God gives us outline suggestions and then leaves us to fill in by our own ingenuity, aided by His Spirit and by His grace. Part number one, all Bible writers challenge their readers to total equipment. Paul, for example, calls upon the Romans to dedicate their bodies as a living sacrifice. Every sacrifice had to be flawless, the best that was available. And the mind, together with the body, should be rekindled. Renewing is a technical term used by the Greek-speaking Hebrews for the relighting of the candlestick every morning and every evening. Paul challenges his readers and he challenges us, body and mind, wholly dedicated to God. Writing to the Corinthians, he says that a steward of the grace and the gifts of God must be found faithful, discharging his responsibilities to his optimal ability. In Luke, Jesus Christ gives the story of the unjust steward. While not condoning his deception, Jesus looked at the way he used the resources at his disposal, which belonged to his master, to make friends that in any eventuality that might catch up with him, he would have friends in the right places. And so Jesus advises us to use the resources we have so that when the time in which these resources can be used, that is this life with its monetary system, its physical activity, when this ends, then the friends that we make, Jesus and the holy angels and celestial beings, might receive us into everlasting habitations. Part number two discusses holistic stewardship. The word whole is a very interesting use of that term. It means total stewardship. The word holiness, as Desire of Ages defines it, wholeness for God, conveys the same idea. We may be sinful, we may be weak, we may be ignorant, but we can be totally dedicated to God. We can look for wholeness with an undivided heart and mind, saying, Lord, I'm a mess, but take me just as I am. I love you, and I give myself to you. The holistic stewardship has this idea of holiness carried into every part of the daily life. Paul used the Macedonians as an example of total commitment. first they gave themselves to the Lord, and having dedicated their lives to Him, then they willingly utilize their energy first to pray for the apostle and the cause of God on earth, and then to give what material resources they might have. So this idea of giving one's whole self comes from heaven. As we have seen, Jesus is the perfect example. Though He was rich, He made Himself poor for us and emptied all His resources into the one task of influencing men and women to turn to Him. Part number three. We are not left alone to make this kind of commitment. God has promised us grace. I love that illustration in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that Christ declared to Paul when he was fighting the thorn in the flesh, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." When Jesus gives us His grace through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, this empowers men and women to do what they have set their minds to do according to God's will. It takes their weak resolution and makes it strong. It takes their fumbling effort and smoothens it out and organizes it to do what God wants us to do. So grace is the divine empowering that enables us to fulfill whatever ideals, whatever purposes, whatever functions Jesus Christ might think we possess. Paul declares that he was a minister of this ministry of grace. Wherever he went, he had to explain to others that this was something that God wanted him to do, to tell them that they were not alone. Whatever they were called upon to do, that heaven would empower them to do. This is a wonderful ministry that we can carry out too. We meet so many weak-willed individuals, and we see in them a reflection of our own weakness, and then, by introspection, we can discern where the Spirit, through the divine grace, helps us, makes us aware of temptations before they come upon us, makes us aware of resources just as we need them, strengthens the will, strengthens the resolution, strengthens the activities, so that we find that where we were in greatest need, there was abounding the greatest grace. So in this ideal of holistic service, of total commitment, grace, the divine power, plays an extremely important role. Part number four, the place of holistic stewardship in character development. The Spirit quickens the flesh, while we mortify the flesh. Mortify is an old word which means to kill. It comes from the Latin word mors, which means death. Quicken means to give life. It started when the pregnant mother is suddenly aware that her fetus is moving. It is becoming quick with life. We mortify when we become aware of some area of our thinking or acting or motivation that is alien to the kingdom of God. We say, "Lord, destroy this. Slay me." As Paul says, "I die daily." Our responsibility is to will that Christ, by His grace and through His Spirit, will kill these evil tendencies. We mortify the upsurgings, the uprisings of the activity of the flesh. When we do that through the power of the Spirit, we will discover that the Spirit is quickening. That is, giving heavenly life, heavenly direction, heavenly energy to the things of the body. When we are led by the Spirit, we become children of God. Just as a father or mother takes the hand of the child and leads it through the difficulties of life. If a dog barks, the little child runs to its father who takes his hand. So by the Spirit, we are held and we are led as if we were children of God. Then the Spirit, Paul tells the Galatians, will produce fruit, the indwelling sap of the Spirit brings the life-giving nutrients and power to the branches to enable them to bring forth the various fruits of the Spirit. And these fruits of the Spirit, he contrasts with the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh look to self. The language, the cussing and the swearing is an outlet for self. The degenerate thoughts are a gratification of self, as are the deeds which grow out of those thoughts. So the fruits of the Spirit he sets in opposition to the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh we consent to. The fruit of the Spirit we also consent to. In this, there is a choice. We can either go in one direction or the other. We can be sons of God spiritually, and we can reap the harvest that God gives to us as a result of the seeds that He sows in our lives. Thus God will enable us to be a blessing. We can help God to fulfill His purposes. We can be His witnesses. We can be His exhibit A as He points to us before the universe, rejoicing and exulting in what His children have become through His grace. This character development is twofold. First of all, it's an acknowledgement of our own areas of weakness. Each one is unique in that we have more weaknesses in some areas, perhaps, than our relatives or our neighbors. We must come face to face with whatever direction the uprisings of the flesh and the mind, of the deeds of the body and the pride of the soul, may take. In order to do this, we should ask God. We should pray to Him. Lord, show me what wicked way there is in me. And the Spirit of God imperceptibly will make us aware of these areas of weakness. When we acknowledge them, when we confess them, when we resolve to turn against them and repudiate them, then the grace of Jesus Christ comes in and infuses the life. In fact, the grace is the one force that has enabled us to see them and face them and repent of them. Now the grace, through the Holy Spirit, will provide us with the opportunity to bear wonderful fruit. What we are doing with our lives is up to us. The Bible challenges us to a wholehearted devotion to the ideal life seen in Christ. And every day, almost every moment of every day, we have the choice whether we will go in the right way or whether we will stray from it. And I think the basic need that lies at the back of a, a wholehearted devotion to God is awareness of the options. And for this awareness, we should pray every day and every time we think about it. Lord, show me what I ought to do. Show me what I ought not to do. Give me the willingness to choose the one and repudiate the other. And give me the grace to live by the one and turn against the other.